Oh, God.
Oh. Hello again.
Hello.
It's been all of 5 minutes, but yes. For everybody else, it's been a week. Yo.
Anyway.
Anywho. Hello again to another episode of Cheers from the Grave. I'm Erica.
And I'm Stephanie.
Woohoo. And Nicole is still on vacation.
Yes.
She's probably back by now, but it's only been 5 minutes since we last recorded, so she's still on vacation, and it's still raining.
It is. Maybe it stopped raining at this point.
It may have stopped since then. I don't know.
Maybe it's really just windy now.
Let's find out. I'm going to go on weather.com and find out, because now I'm curious. Let's see. New York City.
In New York. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Meow, 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 meow. Oh, Lord. It is 50 with rain.
Oof. So now it's still raining.
Oof. It's 100%.
Rough.
100%. Rain likely, heavy, and torrential downpours at times. High around 50 degrees. Wind south-southeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour.
Oof.
Yeah.
So it's cold, rainy, and windy.
Yeah, and when you're in the city, sometimes, like, you know, with the buildings, it kind of creates a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
So
they're probably flying around right now.
Oh, shit.
They're just...
I love that. Oh, Lord. Anyway, so today's episode is we have one listener story that I'm going to read.
And then I will be doing two stories from Spooky Reddit.
Yes. So, would you like to go with your Reddit story?
Yes, that way we can kind of sandwich our listener story.
Yes.
So, yes, I will go ahead. I will be reading from Reddit. So here, I would say the Redditor's name. However, it has been hidden, so I have no idea. So now it is deleted.
Or anonymous.
Or anonymous. Or...
if this was you, let us know.
Yes.
With proof.
So, I will read it as if they are writing it, so
okay.
Get ready for some really awkward third person.
Ooh, this is exciting.
So this Redditor has said that I've posted this before, but it is a great one. I have a tale, and this is my parents' story. It is so good, the internet needs it, so I am sorry for the extreme length, but this is like a two-hour story when my parents tell it.
Oh, Lord.
They remember it even more vividly than I could type about it, and this is 100% real. If you think otherwise, fuck off.
Oh, damn. Okay. That just escalated real quick.
So, part one of four.
Oh.
Back in the 80s, my parents had just gotten married, graduated from college, and had my big brother. They moved into a small house in a very affluent neighborhood north of Milwaukee. The house was surprisingly in their budget. Again, they just graduated from college and med school with a little one on. So.
Wait, and they were able to afford a home?
Yes.
Aww.
This was the 80s.
Well, yeah. Damn it.
However, the house was the smallest on the block. My parents made an offer that was a few under the asking price. Two other couples offered more than the asking price. However, the old man that owned the house rejected both of those offers and said he wanted my folks to have it. He said that he and his late wife would have both agreed that it was the right thing to do.
Aww.
My parents are super grateful and are extremely excited to be living in that neighborhood. There are many youngsters, so my brother has lots of playtime, and life was very good. However, shit starts going down.
Uh-oh.
So the first thing was with the basement. So during this time, my mom was a stay-at-home mom with my brother, and my dad was getting his practice started. He worked super late and was only home on Sundays, basically. My mom did laundry in the basement, and one day, when she was walking up the stairs, a red light at the bottom of the stairs turned on. Now, I am told this is a super bright light, and the switch for it was taken out long ago.
Huh.
It is almost like a fallout shelter emergency light with a cage on it. My mom didn't know what to think, so she starts going back downstairs to investigate, with the lights turned off. She figures maybe it was some sort of surge, and then the next day she goes downstairs again, comes up, and the light is on again. Again, starts walking down, and it turns off. She does not shrug it off this time. She waits a bit at the bottom of the stairs and walks back upstairs, and the light turns on, and she runs down to catch it this time. The only thing is, it starts flashing like a strobe light.
What?
Yes. So it starts flashing like a strobe light before she can even reach the bottom. She noped the fuck right out of the house so quickly with my brother and didn't go back for the rest of the day. The light never turned on for my dad or turned on again after that day.
Oh, geez.
After the red light thing, my mom is naturally shook up. She is scared to go downstairs without my dad, rightfully so.
Mm.
But there was something that started before the red light but escalated after. Knocking.
Oh, shit.
So my parents figured this was originally just natural sounds of the house, as it was fairly old. It would be very sporadic and very infrequent, until one night. My parents were in bed chatting about the day, bills, etc., etc. Then they started hearing knocking.
Hmm.
It started in their room under the bed, then on the walls and the ceiling. It would be about 30 seconds apart, and they could not find a source. Then it sounded like the knocking was outside their room. So they got up and tried following the sound and find where it was. They went all over the house trying to figure out where it came from. Every time they thought they found the source, it would jump to a different side of the room.
Weird.
They eventually were in the foyer, or the living room, and tracked the knocking to super frequently and super loud in the foyer closet. My mom had a fireplace poker in hand,
Good girl. And my dad
had a bat.
Good.
He crept towards the closet, and as he reached for the doorknob, a voice calls out to them, "Knock, knock."
Oh, shit, no.
He swung the doors open, and there was nothing there. All the knocking stopped. My parents could do nothing but stare at each other.
No.
Neither of them slept that night.
No.
All right. So after the red light and the knock, knock, my parents are very wary of this house. My mom is on the verge of a breakdown and not dealing with this well at all. Remember, she is in the house all day with this nonsense.
Yeah.
My dad is usually more skeptical towards this kind of stuff, but he knows something is very wrong and thinks my mom is totally justified in her feelings. Well, we fast forward a few weeks, maybe even a month. It is a normal night like any other night. My parents are asleep in the room, my brother and his. In the middle of the night, my mom suspects 2 or 3 in the morning, can't be certain, being drowsy.
Mm.
My parents wake up to a huge thud. Immediately,
what?
My parents jump up and hear my brother is awake calling for them. They rush into his room and he is laying down at the very center of the room on the floor with his blanket perfectly taut and draped on him, as though he was tucked into bed. But on the ground at least 5 feet away from his bed. My parents pick him up and ask him what happened. He responds, pointing to the closet, "It pushed me. The fox pushed me."
Wait, a fox?
That's what he said.
Oh, shit.
My dad opens the closet, rifles through everything looking for an animal, and of course, finds nothing. So, this is weird, right? Why would a three-year-old say such a thing? Well, in this moment, my parents remember the last name of the old man that sold them the house. Fox.
Oh!
I shit you not. My parents freaked out on this. There were too many things going on. My mom refused to let herself and my brother stay in the house, especially since she was now pregnant with my sister. My dad decided he was going to take care of this. Again, he is not a superstitious man. He is a doctor and a man of logic. However, he knew there was something going on in this house. A night or two after the fox incident, my dad sat down in the living room and had a talk with the spirit of the house. He said this, "I don't know if you are real, and I do not know if you are Mrs. Fox, but I do know this. You are going to stop. We are a peaceful and loving family, and if you are Mrs. Fox, and your husband would be ashamed of you."
Oof.
"He wanted us to have our family here because he knew you would want us to, just as you raised your family here. I want to do the same. You may stay here as long as you like, but you cannot do this to us anymore. I am sorry for your passing and for your pain, but you cannot take it out on us.
Good.
My wife is pregnant and you are causing her loads of stress. You even went after my son. This will stop or I will seek out someone who will make it stop. Thank you. Good night."
See, that's what you got to do. Reclaim your territory.
Exactly. After this, Nothing bad happened to my family again. There were no lights, knocks, or foxes, but, and this is the craziest thing ever, there was one final thing. In a wooden cabinet that my mom bought at a neighborhood garage sale a few days after they moved into the house, there was a card, an anniversary card, and it said, "Happy anniversary, blank and blank, signed Fox."
Huh.
This was found 2 days after my parents' anniversary in June after they moved the cabinet to the other side of the room. They had owned that cabinet since they moved into the house and had not seen the old man since they bought the house either. My parents have moved many times over the years and lost the card inevitably. Mm. We still have the cabinet as it sits in our cabin to this day. I would like to state my brother was in the middle of the room, but to the bed on the floor. This is reiterating back to the on the floor bit.
Oh, geez.
Well, after all the dust had settled, my parents started renovating. They wanted to put carpet in my brother's room, so they tore up the tile slash fake flooring stuff and, quote my dad, "Right where your fucking brother was laying on the Fox that night, there was a blood stain."
What?
Mrs. Fox had died in that house.
Oh, shit.
In my brother's room. She was very ill, but fell while trying to replace the light in the room.
Oh, my God.
The end.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is terrifying. Well, thank you, whoever posted that story on Reddit.
Yes.
Because that was a very good story.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
Because that whole knock, knock, honestly, if I heard something say knock, knock after like running through the house trying to figure out what was knocking.
Exactly.
I would like flip the F out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would move the fuck out.
Yep.
I'd be like, yeah, cool. I'm not living in this house
But
anymore.
I think what got me the most is that they had an anniversary card written to them from the Fox.
That's, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
It's creepy.
That is incredibly creepy.
Ugh.
Ugh. So I have a story here, it's a listener story from Sarah. Her husband, Frankie Daniels, is a Patreon donor of ours. So she sent us this email back in November, so I apologize that we're getting to it now. So she says, "Let me just give a quick shout out to my husband for telling me about this podcast. You probably know him by his live tweeting. His name is Frankie Daniels." By the way, he does live tweet when he listens to our podcast,
yes.
Which is hilarious. anyway, here's my story. I'm open to answer any questions you have. Also, if you're ever in Portland, we have haunted tunnels called the Shanghai Tunnels, and I'm a magnet for activity, and we would love to go with you. I actually, Kyle, his best friend,
mm-hmm.
Pookie,
yes,
Pookie is out there, also known as Devin. He and his girlfriend live out in Portland. So one of these days, we might take a trip out there. And I would love to visit Shanghai tunnels because I've heard so much about them. So anyway, she goes on to say, "I used to live in a duplex with elderly neighbors next to us. My cousins started to come over and hang out. We would stay up late and read spooky stories we found on the internet. It's summertime, and my cousin had a Ouija board and a friend." Did you not listen to our previous episode?
No Ouija board for you.
No Sarah, Ouija where boards. Is this going? "She convinced me to use it with her, and I think it's all a joke, and they were picking on me with the usual 'I'm not moving it' scare tactic. Months pass, and all that happens. Months pass, and all that happens is thumps, footsteps in the hallway. My mom said it's the neighbors. I thought nothing more of it because they would watch loud action movies. The activity picked up very quickly after that. It started out with little things, like I could see a tall person in my window when I waited for my bus at school." Wait, that's a little thing? You're calling that a little thing? Then what's big? What? Yeah, it started out with little things, like seeing a tall person in my window.
Ooh.
That
was it on the second floor?
I okay.
Ooh.
The stop was right across the street from my bedroom, basically. I thought it was weird that my dad was watching me from the room upstairs. He would sometimes wave me off from the downstairs living room, but it didn't wave from my room. And when I asked him about it, he said it wasn't him, and maybe it was a shadow casted in the room by large trees in front of the window. I took it and brushed it off, until one morning I had woken up and had scratches on my body. I asked my mom about it, and she blamed my dog jumping on me. The scratches looked like three long, thin lines. That's not a good sign, because typically, like, demonic things, that's a...
It's a three.
It's three, you know, it's a take on the Holy Trinity, mm-hmm. So... I started hearing voices with... Excuse me. I started hearing voices with footsteps in the hall at night or whispering in the corner of my room, and I asked about it, and nobody else knew anything. My mom went into her personal bathroom one night, and she had a scented bowl on the back of the toilet with shells and sand. It flew off and into the trash. It was a glass bowl, so I heard it hit the counter and on the floor, but nothing spilled from the bowl. Huh. She was out of the bathroom and in a second told me I wasn't... She was out of the bathroom in a second and told me I wasn't making it up. She told me to go to the bathroom. She told me the bathroom got cold all of a sudden, and then the bowl flew off and in the trash, and it went back to a normal temperature. Oh, okay, so her mom experienced this. Oh, geez. It was almost like a presence was tired of being ignored by her. Shortly after that, I called it Slice because he liked to scratch me often.
No.
Oh, man. Same type of scratches, three long, thin lines. I had no idea what he looked like until one night I woke up to whispering in the corner of my room by the door. My dog Bandit was standing over me, growling facing the door, the most protective I've ever seen him with me. I finally look over to see a tall man-shaped figure with what looked like a top hat on, and he laughed and dissolved after I spotted him.
Oof.
That just kind of like instantly reminds me of the top hat guy from exactly. The Haunting, or what is it, the Netflix show?
The House on Haunted Hill, yes. Or something like that, or the Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
I'm yeah. So ready for the new season, though. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Yo, that show shook me, especially when I heard about all the hidden ghosts that you could see. I had to go back and watch the episodes, and when I saw them, I was like, ah!
So I had to completely turn the brightness up on my TV, like 100%, in order to see all the ghosts, and every time I saw one, I was like, oh my God.
It was freaky.
It was terrifying.
So terrifying. Oh my gosh. Anyway, the activity picked up more after that. More heavy footsteps, even when we were all awake and downstairs eating dinner. You could hear pacing in the hall that sounded like heavy boots. Other things that would happen besides the regular, he would scare my brothers. Slice would break new light bulbs while we would stand at the sink just after screwing it in. My youngest brother, Jesse, was really sick when he was about six. Never was sick as a child. My youngest brother, Jesse, was really sick when he was about six. Never wake a sick child. He had fallen asleep on the couch, so we tossed the blanket on him and had left him to sleep on the lift seat. He woke up in the middle of the night freaking out and screaming as he ran up the stairs saying it was shaking, waking my parents and me up. We go to check. The lift seat had moved from being pressed on the glass of the patio door to half on our rug in the middle of the room.
Oof.
Oh, man. My older brother Chris had often seen a mist just float away. He was skeptical about the whole thing until he challenged Slice to do something, and it was a mist right in front of him. You don't ever challenge these things. Oh, my Lord. He couldn't move, and it went away after a few minutes. He never said anything about it again. Doors would open randomly. They would also slam when we had high tension in the house, and with six kids, it's a lot of energy. Yeah, that is. And as we, like, you know how, like, in one of our previous episodes when I talked about, like, poltergeists and stuff like that, when you have a lot of kids in a house, especially when they're going through puberty and everything like that, that's a lot of energy that, that can actually create poltergeist type activity. So the worst one to think about is one morning when I left for school, we had installed security cameras. My mom woke me up to closing the door, and she had seen his shadow a step away following me to the gate. As soon as I crossed the gate, it was gone. She freaked out and called me. She let me know and asked if someone was with me. And when I told her no, I had no friends over, she said, "I know, it follows you." Apparently there's laughing as well, because she says the laughing got worse. I got to the point where I told it to leave me alone and I would roll over to sleep. A few friends tried to contact him. The camera was wiped as well as phones they had recording. They managed to piss it off and raced down the stairs to us. And right about where my room was, all we heard was a loud slam. We slept in the living room that night, and a few years later, we moved, and it didn't follow us. We did have whispering in random spots of the new house, but nothing more. My second story involves my niece. The brother, Chris, from the previous story, who challenged Slice. Well, they lived in apartments, and I would say she's about 5, and she would say creepy things, like the lady in the living room, like that lady is in the living room again. Everybody told her to knock it off. Yo, if Emma ever said that there was a lady in the living room, I would believe her 100%, because that girl has already told me that she's heard things in her room.
Yeah.
Oop, ouch. She excitedly told me one day she made a friend in the apartment. I was told all about how she wanted to come in and play. Now I'm thinking, yay, great, a friend. Wrong, so freaking wrong. I was told about how she would hide by the tree in the shade and avoided the sun. She was also invited in. So me not pushing more, I let it go. Hoping it was a joke, odd things happened around the apartment. Water faucets would start dripping. Pots would sound like they were bumping together. And one day, Chris stepped out to smoke. He looked up at her window and seen a small child. Is it Shella? Probably like a small child looking down at him. Whoa. Yeah.
She would black-eyed children.
She should have been in bed, napping. So he ran up to her room to get her back in bed, and when he opened the door, she was already asleep and snoring. My mom worked pretty close, and one day wasn't feeling good, so she asked to sleep on the couch on her lunch. They went shopping, and she heard someone start the water in the kitchen and get a pot set on the stove. She called out if they were back, and no answer. So she got up to check, and all the pots... pots are all over the stove when it was empty before. So she ran out and back to work. Yeah, I'd probably do the same.
Yeah. I would just take a nap in my car at that point.
Yeah, right? She told my brother later, and he told her that she was just making it up like everyone else. So obviously,
He's very skeptical.
Yeah. The turning point was when my niece woke up in the middle of the night screaming onto her parents' room. She yelled about how her friend crawled out from the closet while being on the ceiling looking down at her and spread into a black blanket covering the ceiling and heading her way.
What the fuck? No, I would have noped right out of that house and then never returned if there was a child crawling on the ceiling.
I would burn the house down.
Yeah. Just burn it down.
I would burn it down.
Set it on fire.
Nope. So they slept in the living room after that, and they called for help. It started to scare all of them, and they would start sleeping at a friend's house. They would start sleeping at friends' houses whenever they could. We knew someone who could help and cleanse the house and banish the demon. So we called her mom because she always helped out like this, and she came over and kicked it out and told my niece to never invite anything inside again. Gave her a bottle of holy water to sprinkle all over the windows and doors. My niece now has experiences, but is much more cautious about it all. She knows the big rules: never ever use a Ouija board or invite anything in.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. On a happier note, My grandma will visit me and my mom in my dreams or awake when we are really struggling and give us advice. She comes with the smell of lavender. Aw, that's sweet.
That's nice.
Thanks for letting me share this with you. Keep it spooky. And Sarah.
Yay! That was one hell of a ride.
Yes, it was.
Holy crap. Holy crap, Sarah. Your niece freaks me out.
Yes. Yeah, I don't ever want to hang out with her, so.
Yeah. But just keep an eye on her because it sounds like she might be developing some sort of connection. Not connection, right. But like, sixth sense type of deal. So, yeah. Definitely keep an eye on that.
Ooh. Scary.
Oh, that's spooky.
All right, so I have one more Reddit story, and this is from Reepit Murphy. So I'll go ahead and go into it. So growing up on an Indian reserve, growing up on an Indian reservation, almost everyone has a spooky story. I've had a few experiences, but nothing overtly spooky, but one of the best ones I've ever heard was from one of my uncles when he was younger. He grew up on the Standing Rock Reservation in Fort Yates, specifically south of Fort Yates, on the South Dakota side. It's a town called Mobridge, and it's about 30 miles away, and when it's nice out, people from Fort Yates will walk that 30 miles to Mobridge for bars and whatnot, usually catching a ride part of the way. It's an ugly little country road, and because alcoholism is so prevalent down there, there's been a lot of drunk driving deaths on that road.
Oh, man.
Anyway, one morning, he's walking back from Mobridge after a night of drinking. It's like 6 in the morning, and he said he figured he had slept and was sober enough to walk back. He said he had been walking for about an hour or so when he came over a hill and saw a girl walking from the field to meet him on the road. He said she was Native and dressed in regular He said she was Native and dressed in regular jeans and whatnot, but like super pretty. So he figured she was just some girl walking down to Mobridge or up to Fort Yates.
Oh, dear, no.
So she meets up with him on the side of the road, and she starts talking to him. He said she was asking him if he was hungry and saying he looked tired and that he should come with her to her home so he could eat and rest. He asked her where she lived because he didn't see a house, and she pointed to the trees about a mile away. He thought the trees probably blocked the house, so he couldn't see it. He said she just about convinced him to go with her when he looked down and saw that her feet were backwards.
The fuck?
Yeah. He said he froze, stopped talking, and turned around to start walking back toward Mobridge. She was following him, telling him that he was going to die on that road and he should just come back to her home because it'll be warm and that he could sleep with her if he wanted.
Awkward.
But he just ignored her and kept walking, not saying a word. He said she must have followed him for about 10 to 15 minutes before a car coming up from Fort Yates stopped and picked him up. As he was getting in the car, she kept telling him to not get in because he was going to die in that car in an accident.
Oh, Jesus.
When he got in and they started driving, he asked the people in the car if they heard what she said, but they told him that he was walking alone. In our culture, we have these things whose names roughly translate to tree witch, and he was fully convinced that that was what was talking to him that morning.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's the story I have, and that was terrifying.
That's not okay.
No.
Ugh. Oh, Lord. That's creepy.
Yeah, if you have backwards feet, just automatically assume you're a tree witch.
Oh, my gosh. I've never... Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to everyone. Thank you to the people on Reddit.
Yes, especially the people on Reddit, because that's how you guys keep me occupied for the night.
And thank you so much for Sarah for sending in her listener story. If you guys have any type of listener stories or experiences or anything, you can email them to us at cheersfromthegrave@gmail.com.
Yes.
So, Stephanie, how can they find us?
You can find us on Twitter at cheersfromgrave, Instagram at cheersfromthegrave, Facebook at Cheers from the Grave, and our website at www.cheersfromthegrave.com.
Yay! And all those links, as well as our Patreon and our Ko-fi accounts, if you want to help donate to us, can be found on our Linktree account. That's linktr.ee/cftg. All that, all those links and everything can be found in the show notes attached to this episode. Yes. Yay. Well, wrapping it up.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I'm Erica.
I'm Stephanie.
And you're listening to
Cheers from the Grave.